Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. Now, whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. I am Rick Muscoso, one of your co-hosts this morning. And we are a simulcast show that broadcasts here on our website as well as on Blog Talk Radio. If you are an audiophile, you can certainly listen to it both ways, watch us on video or listen to us on video. But our show is really all about helping out the small business entrepreneur run their business efficiently, safely, legally, and profitably. And Bill and I are very passionate about this, and we have shared our knowledge base for the last several years here and giving you some tips and tricks and best practices in regards to how to do that. You're always welcome to take a look at our archive on bottledbusinesssenseshow.com, and there's a whole host of topics related to what we talk about here on every Tuesday. So go ahead and take a look at that. If you're a new listener, new viewer, welcome. And, you know, we always love to hear feedback from our viewership. You can always drop us a line at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com for any suggestions, any comments. All of that is welcome. And if you have any topics you'd like to hear on upcoming episodes, go ahead and drop us a line with that as well. And you can certainly always find us on social media at Bottled Business Sense Show, on Gmail, on Facebook, on Twitter. So take a look, give us your comments. We're open to hearing what you have to say. And hopefully
we're all over the place, aren't we, Rick?
Yeah, and so hopefully you'll enjoy what we have to share today. So I'm going to bring on my co-host here on the other side, Mr. Bill Bernard. He is our legal expert, and he is the focus of our topic today. But before we get into that, how are you doing today, Bill?
Well, you know, I'm doing just fine, Rick. A little bit rainy weather here, believe it or not, in California. That's unusual, but it doesn't stop us. Neither rain nor sleet nor snow will prevent the Bottled Business Sense Show. That's the new poet laureate of the Bottled Business Sense Show, right? But yeah. No, we picking up on what Rick said, we love to have input from the viewers, and we're really here, as Rick said, to help the business entrepreneur. But we also want to help the families of the entrepreneur too. I mean, we have shows dedicated to the total business model, which would incorporate entity protection, asset protection. Family law, in the sense that it's really estate planning, not family law per se, because we don't want anybody to get divorced as a result of this show, and employment law. So today we're going to talk about a little bit of estate law. And a while back we did a show on what constitutes a small estate, and I started getting questions on, okay, how do we actually transfer a small estate? What do you do? What are the steps that you have to go through? And so I thought maybe we'd tackle that today, Rick, and actually tell people, how do you actually transfer a small estate, and give them the answer to that question, because there's two prerequisites that constitute what a small estate is before we can even consider how to transfer it. And that would be, number one, it has to be an estate worth $150,000 or less. And number two, it has to be dealing only with personal property. We cannot do this by way of any real property. That if you have real property in your estate, you can't do it. And principally, the reason would be probably easy for anybody to guess. One of the biggest reasons is you're not going to typically have a piece of property that's $150,000 or less. But even if you did, you couldn't do it by way of this method. This has to be personal property only.
Okay.
And it has to be 150K or less.
Well, let's start off here with the first question that people will probably ask you. And do I have to go to court to inherit property from someone who dies?
Not always. If you have the legal right to inherit personal property, like a bank account or stocks or anything that's of a personal nature, with some exceptions that we'll get into a little bit later, and it's worth, as I said, $150,000 or less, you may not have to go to court. So that's clearly something that you have to look at right from the beginning. And that, I think, is what we just touched upon. Personal property worth at least $150,000 or less. I think it might be important, Rick, to just mention that you must have a right to inherit something. Either you're the beneficiary of a will or you're the heir, which is a person who is entitled by law, by intestate succession, to inherit something from somebody else when there is no will. So if you have a will, you have a beneficiary. If you have a no will, you have an heir who inherits by right of intestate succession. Now, the funny little twist to that is, just to go out on a limb here for a second, if you have a trust, you also are a beneficiary of a trust. But of course, if you have a trust, you have one thing going for you that you don't have if you're a beneficiary of a will or an heir at intestate succession. And that is no probate, right? You don't have to go through probate.
Right, right. Well, so, okay.
Real quick, just to finish my thought here, you're also avoiding probate, but you're doing it because the estate is very small and because you're only talking about personal property. A trust would cover estates that are much larger and that also include real property. So there's the distinction.
Okay, so when we take a look at this personal property that you're talking about, how do I know, you know, how much all this is worth? Is it how do I tally this up so I know that it's under $150,000 or less?
Well, you've got to add up, you got to calculate all the real and personal property, all the life insurance or retirement benefits, everything that composes private, property that composes both personal and real property. That's how you determine whether the state is $150,000 or less. Now, remember what we just said. You can't transfer real property if the estate is $150,000 or less. You can only transfer personal property. But to understand if it is $150,000 or less, you have to add the personal property and the real property together to get the total value. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So are there any restrictions then to the personal property that you're talking about? Like what qualifies?
Yeah, there are, Rick. Right. Real property, of course, we just said. Real or personal property that the person who died owns with someone else in joint tenancy. So if you and I own a piece of property in joint tenancy, someone else can't transfer it because, or whatever we might own in joint tenancy, that can't be transferred because you would automatically have a right to inherit it when I pass. Community property, life insurance benefits, because they have typically have designated beneficiaries. Unpaid salary, if someone is owed money from their job, that's not something you can transfer. That's income to the decedent. And debts or mortgages cannot be transferred. So basically, you're talking about personal property that would include household items. It would include, maybe some bank accounts, things of that nature. Anything of a personal nature that would otherwise not be included in the categories of real property, community property, unpaid salary, or debts or mortgages that are owed, or life insurance. Anything outside of that would really be considered personal property for the most part.
Okay. So then that leads to my next question. And let's say we tally all this stuff up and it's a little bit over the $150,000 threshold. Can a person subtract the dead person's debts to get under that threshold.
Yeah, so they're trying to get under the 150 grand, right? No, you're not allowed to subtract the debts of a person who has passed. Those debts must be included in terms of calculating whether the 150 is there or is higher than the 150.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's a little bit of a twist here or a complication if the property is worth 150 or less, but somehow already got in probate.
Right. Yeah, it was my next question. What happens if in that case?
Well, if it's in probate already and it's been filed, you must ask the personal representative of the estate to agree in writing to let you do it by the small estate affidavit by transferring property in manners that we've been discussing. So remember that an administrator is somebody who is appointed by the court when a probate is filed. An executor is somebody who is appointed by the deceased as part of the person who administers the will, if he had a will. Because remember, whether you're intestate without a will or with a will, you have to go to probate. Now, you don't have to go to probate if it's 150 grand or less in personal property, but if somebody has already filed and you're in probate, now you discover, wait a minute, I could have gotten away without this. Well, then you can approach the executor if there's a will, or the personal representative if it's court appointed by way of intestate succession, and you can say, hey, give me something in writing that will allow us to dispense with this process and go by small estate affidavit.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, so can anyone use this process? I mean, it's a pretty simple process, it sounds like, but can anyone use it?
Well, you just to recap what I just said, you must either be a beneficiary in a will or an heir who's entitled to the property by way of intestate succession if there is, in fact, no will. Then you qualify to do this this small estate transfer. So now we're picking up on this a little bit, aren't we? And we're understanding that there's more qualifications than just having it to be personal property and being under 150,000 or 150,000 or less. You have to be a rightful heir, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a rightful beneficiary under a will to be able to take advantage of this.
Okay. All right. So we touched on then, or we talked about the qualifications of this. So now let's say we check those off the list. We're all good with that. So how do we go about now transferring the property to your name?
You have to get a what's typically called a small estate affidavit, Rick, and you can find that by way of California Probate Code 13100 through 1311. Five. I'm going to say that again. 13100-13115. It is a one-page affidavit, or you can call me or call another lawyer, and they can prepare one for you pretty quickly. But you have to use that small affidavit. Now, if you have a lot of assets to transfer, you may have to use multiple affidavits. But in addition to that, Rick, you may have to use an affidavit that a specific institution requires. So here's the deal. You have a small estate affidavit that you typically file. I've run into this where I do a living trust. When I do a living trust, I prepare a trust affidavit or a trust declaration so somebody can take that into their institution and have their accounts transferred into the name of the trust out of their personal name. And that should be sufficient. You should never have to show your living trust because that's personal and private. A banking institution may say, under our rules, you need to show that. Well, you can say, sorry, I'm transferring my, I don't want to do this. But by then you're trapped because you need the money in those accounts and you have to follow their policy. So the bank's policies or whatever financial institution it may have a policy that is more strict or more stringent than the policy that's actually required by law. And so consequently, you may have to file an affidavit that they provide you, and you may have to file multiple affidavits depending on how many accounts there are and what institutions they're at. or you may simply have to file the one affidavit I spoke of later that you can get through the probate code or through my office. That typically suffices, but sometimes you run into a stubborn institution that requires a little something more.
Yeah. So what happens in the case where there's multiple beneficiaries, they're entitled to inherit, different pieces of property?
That's a good question. Well, good question, because that happens quite often. Then all of them need to sign the affidavit. You must all sign that particular affidavit in order to get the property transferred properly. And I would go one step further, Rick. I would say that I would have the document notarized. It's not required by law, but I would have the affidavit notarized so it's official, as official as it can be, and it would certainly go toward satisfying banking institutions or other financial institutions, because they typically are real big on notarization.
Okay. Are there any other documents that we have to include with along with this affidavit?
Yeah, another good question. You really do. You must attach a certified copy of the death certificate. You must attach to the affidavit proof that the person who died owned the property, like a bank passbook, a storage receipt, or a stock certificate, or something like that. Thirdly, you must attach proof of your identity, who you are. So I would copy your driver's license or passport. And then finally, you need an inventory and appraisal of all the real property owned by the decedent. Why do you need this? Well, you need to show that the real property was taken into account when you looked at the value of the estate. So you need to prove that the real property, if included, is going to still keep it under the 150, or that there isn't any real property to be looked at. So the four things, again, are copy of the death certificate, proof that the person who's deceased owned the property in question that's being transferred, three, proof of your identity, like a driver's license or passport, and then an inventory and appraisal of the real property. And finally, you must wait 40 days after the person dies in order to attempt this transfer. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, Rick. I mean,
let me ask you. So 40 days sure. Seems like a long time. Is that a legal legal window that you have to wait, or why is it 40 days?
Well, let me put it this way. It's set forth in the probate code. That would be my easiest answer to give you. But this allows anybody to come forward who may contest it, or who may have who may need to be made aware of what's going on, that the decedent died and that there's an issue out there that may involve them. It gives people time to let it all soak in. If you ask me the question, why 40 days instead of 50 or 60, But suffice it to say that there's going to be some time limitation, and it probably has to do with giving 30 days and then making sure there's enough time for either publication or mailing or something that will make sure that everybody who could potentially be involved is properly notified.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is a pretty short and sweet. It's very concise,
And I wanted to make it that way. I wanted to make it that way, yeah. Rick. I wanted to make it, I wanted to make people aware that these are one of the few times that I don't advocate going to probate court or even having a trust. If you know you have an estate that's worth $150,000 or less and that it's going to remain that way, why spend the money to get an estate plan? Now, I would say most of this is very much in the minority, but nevertheless, it's important, because if you run into this situation, you save yourself a lot of time, heartache, money, and everything else by doing this small state affidavit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, if you fall in this situation, then and you don't know what to do, or you want to prepare in the eventuality that this is going to apply to you, then please reach out to Bill. He's always available for general questions, and will definitely point you in the right direction. That's exactly what he does to all of our.
Yeah, let me emphasize in that regard, Rick. I'm happy to answer a few questions for you free of charge. I mean, if you pick up the phone and you call me, my part of my marketing plan is to try to help out the community as much as I can. And that's one of the reasons we do this show. And that may lead to business down the road. I mean, let's face it. That's one of the ways you get business. I don't need to charge somebody for every phone call that I make or say you have to be my client before I'm going to give you some advice. I'll provide a disclaimer to you. I'll indicate to you that I don't know your specific situation, but as best as I can, I'll be happy to answer a few general questions if you shoot a few my way. And if you have any in this regard, I'm happy to try to answer them for you. And if you need my help as a client, I'm happy to take you on as a client. So that's why we do this show, and that's why I'm happy to answer those questions.
That's awesome. Well, I also want to make mention that if you find yourself outside of this qualification, then we just did a previous show on a product that Bill has that you can certainly set up your estate and protect yourself properly. It's called Protect Your Estate 365. Bill, why don't you give a quick synopsis of what that product is and how to get a hold of it?
Yeah, and more specifically, it's a service. It's not something that I sell and you do it yourself. You participate in it by filling out a trust worksheet online, and then you just click the button and it goes my way, and then I know you're interested. But suffice it to say that it's really geared toward a standard trust package that includes all of the trust documents you need, including your trust, your wills, your pour over wills, your powers of attorney for health care and for assets, your health directives, everything, trust certification, trust declaration, probably about 10 to 11 documents in total. For a $1,299 price, that's $1,299. It's a standard estate package, and I geared it towards families who basically are in this position where they don't have a multimillion-dollar estate, but who need help, need assistance. And the distinguishing feature of it, of course, Rick, is rather than going online to these DIY sites where you're going to pay something similar or maybe even a little less, you're going to pay an extremely reasonable price that you would otherwise pay a lawyer between $3,000 and $5,000 to do. And for that $1,299 price, you're going to get my direct input, and you're going to have contact with me and have me provide you with the help that you need. The documents are prepared by me, not by somebody else. They're then sent to you by email, and you arrange to have them notarized in the proper places that I advise you to have them notarized at. And you save a lot of money, and you are able to get an estate plan. Now, Protect Your Estate 365 has been around for a while, but we just established a new site with Rick's help. And it's at protectyourestate365.com, or better known as PYE, PYE365.com. We'll also get you there. And it's really set up to explain everything to you, to answer a multitude of questions through questions and answers on the fact page, as well as videos that Rick did for me. And it's just a like this show, it's a multitude and wealth of information to allow you to understand and see why an estate plan would be best for you.
Yeah, folks, this is a great service. I've had firsthand access to it to take a look inside and helping Bill put this together. And you may save some money online in getting components of this, but really that's the operative word, and components. And you may not know that you're not getting the whole thing just to save a buck, right? And what Bill is providing here is something that's complete, that is really customized to your situation, and certainly something that's personally interactive for your particular situation. So reach out to Bill. Take a look at the website, pye365.com, or protectyourestate365.com, or reach out to Bill, because, like you said, he definitely wants to point you in the right direction. He wants to help protect our families and do the right thing for you. So, Bill, why don't you share your contact information? And
sure. Well, obviously, bill@wfblegalconsulting.com would be my email, because Protect Your Estate is a shoot off of WFB Legal Consulting Incorporated. Phone numbers, very simply, both 949 area code. Office is 698-6222, and direct line is 413-6535.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Bill. Again, we have two great two great services now that we've learned about on this show. So reach out to Bill if either of those instances fall within your estate needs or whatever your situation happens to be. I am Rick Moscoso with Captivate 365 LLC, one of your co-hosts here today. With that, go on to sign off, and really looking forward to seeing you guys again next week here on the show. We are the bottledbusinesssenseshow.com, and we're here every Tuesday at 10 a.m. So have a great day, and we'll see you again next episode.
Take care, everybody.